Hello and welcome back to Have You Seen It? I'm Maggie, and in this episode I have a mystery crime drama from Greece to tell you about. Are you ready? Let's go. Okay, so this week we have Maestro in Blue. It is a Foss Productions production and came out in 2022 on Mega Channel in October in Greece, where it goes by just Maestro, and then was made available on Netflix worldwide at the beginning of 2023. It was created by Christoforos Papakayatis, and there is only one season with 9 episodes. It takes place on the island of Paxos, which is located in the Ionian Sea off the western coast of mainland Greece. Greece's official name is the Hellenic Republic and is a European country located in Southeast Europe on the southern tip of the Balkan Peninsula. It is bordered by Albania to the northwest, North Macedonia and Bulgaria to the north, and Turkey to the northeast. To the west of mainland Greece is the Ionian Sea, to the south is the Sea of Crete and the Mediterranean Sea, and to the east is the Aegean Sea. There are no shows that take place within 300 miles of this one, but some fun facts about Greece are: it is one of the sunniest places in the world. It gets about 300 days of sun every year. There are over 600 islands in the Greek Isles. Only 227 of them are inhabited, and all 227 of them have their own cultures, which makes visiting them all a different experience. 80% of Greece is mountains, which is a fun fact that was surprising to me, because when I think of Greece, I think of white beaches and islands, not mountains, but it is one of the most mountainous countries in Europe. Greek is one of the oldest languages still spoken today. It has been spoken continuously for over 5,000 years and played a huge influence on a lot of Latin-based languages like English. Athens is Europe's oldest capital. It has been continuously inhabited for over 7,000 years and became a capital city almost 3,400 years ago. Democracy was born in Greece. In Greek, it is themokratia, which is a combination of two words, themos meaning people and kratos meaning power, so people power. It is believed that a lot of cities in ancient Greece operated under a democratic style of government as early as the 4th century BC, but Athens was the only one that had sufficient historical records, which is why it is credited as the birthplace of democracy. It was developed in the city-state of Athens in the 6th century BC, and only people that were allowed to participate at that time in Athens were free adult male citizens who were born in Athens, which made up less than 30% of the total population. So even back then, it wasn't really for the people, by the people, it was for the rich, by the rich. Nice to see not much has changed over the last 2,600 years. The last fun fact I have is about the island of Paxos, which again was where the show takes place. In Greek mythology, the island was created by Poseidon by striking Corfu with his trident so he and his wife Amphitrite could have some peace and quiet. The little fun fact that I found out about the small island the show takes place on. They speak Greek in the show, obviously. Audio alternatives are available in English, Italian, French, Spanish, Brazilian Portuguese, and there is an audio description available in Greek as well. There also is some audio alternatives below a line. I think this is the first time I've seen the line that I've talked about several times on the audio alternative side of the section of area, whatever. But those languages are European Spanish, Polish, and Turkish. Again, I have no idea what that line means, but I'm assuming that it means whatever is below the line is only available in my country, and the things above the line are available everywhere else, but I'm not 100% positive about that. I don't think Netflix ever clarified. But there are available subtitles. Again, they are split up into two groups, one above the line, one below the line. So the ones above the line are English, closed caption English, Spanish, simplified Chinese, traditional Chinese, closed caption Greek, and Arabic. And the ones below the line are Brazilian Portuguese, Croatian, Czech, Danish, Dutch, European Spanish, Filipino, Finnish, French, German, Hebrew, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Malay, Norwegian, Polish, Portuguese, Romanian, Swedish, Thai, Turkish, Ukrainian, and Vietnamese. Whew, that's a lot. The show is rated TVMA. The disclaimers that Netflix has for the show are language, nudity, sexual violence, smoking, substance, and violence. The links to all the websites where I got the information for this show, the fun facts, and any other information that I did not use my memory for are going to be linked in the description of this episode, as well as in the caption for the post that I made for the show on Instagram. The cast of this show is pretty straightforward. All but one of the people that I'm going to mention in this section are from the island of Paxos. The male lead, Orestes, who is played by Christoforos Papakayatis, the creator of the show. He is a musician who arrives at the island to try to help bring back a music festival that had been canceled the last few years because of COVID. The other characters I'll be grouping up into two families and then other. First up is the man who invited Orestes to the island, and that is Phanes. He is played by Phanes Moratethis. He is trying to bring the festival back to help bolster his candidacy for mayor. His wife is Sophia. She is played by Marisa Triantafilithou. They have two children together, a 19-year-old Kalilia, who is played by Kalilia Antriolatou, and Antonis, who is younger than his sister, though I don't know his exact age, and he is played by Orestes Chelkias. Sophia's mother, Charis, also lives with them, and she is played by Charis Alexou. The next family is made up of Chalalampos, who is played by Yanis Tortekis. His wife Maria is played by Maria Kavoyani. She runs the little local cafe type place where you can get a sandwich for lunch and stuff. And she helps Orestes with the festival. And finally, their son Spyros, who is played by Yorgos Venos. The other two characters I will mention are Mikales, the island doctor, and he is played by Athanos Albanes. And finally, Thanos, who is played by Dimitrios Kitsios, and he is a medical student who's in love with Kalilia. This cast is pretty easy to follow, like I said. There are some other characters throughout the show that play different parts that are also not from Paxos, but these are the most important ones. So now before I talk about the opening moments of the show, the description that Netflix has for this show is: a musician goes to lead a festival on a scenic island where he begins an unexpected romance and finds himself entwined in other people's problems. And I think describing what happens in this show as him being entwined in other people's problems is a bit of an understatement, but anyways. The show opens up with some ominous shots of someone dragging a body through some wooded area. There's a path that they're going through, so it's not like the woods, but it's definitely overgrown a bit, so it seems like it's part of the island that maybe people haven't really visited as much as the others, maybe since the pandemic it kind of shut down. But there are three different shots of this moment and this place, but we don't see the body, so we don't know who's dead, nor do we see who the person that's dragging the body is. So we don't know who is dead, and we don't know who the potential killer is. We then see the title page for the episode, which is Claire de Lune. Every episode kind of has their own name, and the name of the episode pops up at the title screen. But when that is over, we see an aerial shot of the island and the name Paxos in Greek. They translate it for you, but it's written in Greek so that you know where it is. We then see Khalili's house and her sitting at a table writing in a journal. There's a voiceover of her talking about how there is still people her age that write in a journal, kind of like a we still do this type of thing, and how she's holding on to a romanticism that's rare nowadays. Then we see her get on her moped and make her way around the island. She's talking about how blessed she is to live in such a beautiful place with blessed people. She mentions how lucky she is to be a part of a generation that is growing up free and fearless. And then she goes, let's be honest, I hate them all. She then draws a picture of what it's like living on her island, and she says it's made up of fake progressive people in a sophisticated society that only care about money. The men do nothing but cheat, and one of the biggest fears parents have is that their son may turn out to be gay. She mentions how for the women there, it's okay if they want to go to school and get a higher education and get a career, but their sole purpose in life is family, and that once she turns 40, she's considered damaged goods. Image and making money is everything, so no matter what you do, keep it hush hush. During this part where we have her voiceover about all these different things about life on the island, we're seeing clips of a younger Kalilia in different moments, looking happy at first, but then she looks at the camera and she looks sad and tired. And it's, I mean, small town life, I feel like no matter where you are in the world, is pretty similar for the most part. We then see her on a boat, and she's talking about how she grew up in the golden liberal years of globalization and technology, and then she talks about how most girls at her school have had sex by 15 and post on social media all the time and just want to go out to nightclubs and secretly dream of a boyfriend who will make a good husband. And then she says that she finds that appalling and asks why she should apologize for wanting something else. It's giving very much, well, I'm not like all the other girls, you know? And then she mentioned that on top of having to deal with all of that, like the normal teenage things, COVID happened. And as she's walking down a busy pedestrian walkway, the people are quickly putting things away, kind of symbolizing like how fast the world shut down. And soon she is the only person outside. She then takes a deep breath, puts on a mask, and the voiceover says, quote, "I think it goes without saying that for a young person, this world, as they've made it, is shitty." And I do agree with that. I will say very quickly, when she mentioned the virus, I rolled my eyes because I was at the point where I was sick of COVID being the main storyline of every show or every episode that was coming out while it was still happening. Like, I'm not watching this show to be reminded that we were in the middle of a pandemic, but to forget that we were in the middle of a pandemic for 45 minutes. That's it. Just 45 minutes. But I will say that this show is not about COVID. The effects of COVID on a small island that uses tourism as the main factor in their economy is the catalyst for the storyline and the reason for Orestes being in Paxos, but they don't harp on COVID, which for me, I was like, thank you. So in this situation, mentioning COVID isn't a cheap ploy to exploit a devastating event for the simple reason to create drama, which could have been created without it, but rather using it to paint the very real situation that a lot of places around the world are dealing with after COVID, especially like, again, a small island where tourism is the only reason that most of the people are able to financially afford to live in a house. But anyways, back to the opening moments of the show. After she walks back down the empty street, we see her passing by some other people putting merchandise outside of their shops, also wearing masks, and the voiceover says that it is over now and it's summer again, and little by little life is picking up again. So again, I think that moment in the opening moments of her walking down a busy street as she passes people, they're like putting stuff away, to it now being completely empty, to her now walking back down towards an empty street, is the symbolic representation of the pandemic, right? So now that she's walked back down that empty street, she's turning a corner, they're turning the corner back into being, you know, the regular life of tourists are now coming back and everything like that. And I do appreciate that symbolism, if that was his intention. But anyways, as she's walking past the people, she sees a boat approaching the island, and she says that the only way of reaching the island still was by a water taxi. I don't know how they would get there any other way. They don't explain how there is any other way but water taxi. But we see a shot of the guy on the water taxi, and she continues saying that they don't have many visitors yet, but for those that do come to the island, there is a car with the key in the ignition on standby, and we see this tiny little car, like, waiting for whoever's getting off the water taxi. When the man gets off the boat, she keeps glancing at him while getting on her moped, and the voiceover says, quote, "Those coming to our island are usually ugly as sin." And when the man takes his mask off, she goes, "That's strange." She then hangs around a little bit, like watching him put his stuff in the car, and then she starts to leave herself, and she still has her mask on. And when she passes him, he leans out of the car and stops her, asking if he can ask her something, and she kind of just like nods her head a little bit, and then he asks where Menasetika village is. He mentions that he has no signal or GPS, and he has a slight smile on his face, like very friendly. And then Khalilia pulls down her mask, and the smile drops from his face, and she says she's going that way too, so he can follow her if he'd like. And he says, okay, and he thanks her. And then we hear her voice over again, and she says, "I lied. Menasetika was in the opposite direction to where I was going, but because I fancied him, I thought I'd take the time." That's where I'm going to leave it. I will say this man is Orestes. You know that because when you click on the show, it's like, it's them. the two of them together, so why would I keep that from you? So it is Orestes, obviously the man coming to save the village with the music festival. But it is a weird little interaction between the two of them because of his reaction when she pulls her mask down. You're kind of like, interesting. You meet the other characters throughout the first episode, and of course, like Kalilia says in her voiceover, everything seems like they have a perfect life, but as the show goes on, you learn that that is far from the truth, and it's different for each and every person, but each and every person is not really living the life they are portraying. Before I get to my likes and dislikes, I will let you know that that opening moment of like the person dragging the body through the overgrown path area is slowly revealed every episode at the very end. So you make sure you watch all the way until that like watch next episode pops up, because you might miss it, and it is slowly revealing more and more as it happens. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But my likes and dislikes. So overall, I wasn't a big fan of the show. It was watchable for the most part, and it did get better as it went on. But this show is a show that, if it wasn't for this podcast, I wouldn't have finished it, if I'm being completely honest. I will say I am glad I stayed to the end. The quality of the show is not why I wanted to stop watching the show. It was because I didn't like the relationship between Orestes and Kalilia. So you can tell from Netflix, like when you're when you search this show on Netflix, like the picture that pops up, there is a romance between these two. I love romance shows, right? They are, rom-coms are my weak point, right? I love them. I will watch them always. But I am not a fan of large age gap romances. They make me feel very uncomfortable. And it makes me even more uncomfortable that the actor that plays Orestes created the show. And it may not be fair, but there is something about shows or movies where an older guy that writes about a 40-something-year-old man having a romantic relationship with an 18-year-old or 19-year-old girl also plays the 40-something-year-old man. Like, I find that very icky. I don't know. I know the actress was like 25 or 26 while filming the show. She looks like a teenager, which is better than having like a 20 or 22-year-old actress, because like technically they're of age, but you're still like, I don't know. Like, so 25, 26 is, I guess, a little bit better, but I large age gap relationships make me very uncomfortable. I don't like them. And that was the main reason that I didn't want to keep watching this show, because the moments between them, I was just like, ugh, like I didn't like it. I don't know if there ever will be a show or movie where this type of thing happens where I enjoy it. Because that part of the show, I did not enjoy. It was like the other parts of the show that I enjoyed. But anything between the two of them, I didn't really like it. It made me feel icky. I had to pause a lot to kind of like just like breathe through scenes. Be like, you can get through this. Just, you're okay. Just let's push through this. But yeah, that's the reason that I didn't want to keep watching the show. Not because it was a bad show. The other parts of the show were very good. Very good and very easy to watch. There's so many different storylines and different angles and point of views being told in the show. And I think for a show placed in a small town, that's important. Because I think a lot of times, like, small town shows are very one-dimensional. Whereas this one feels like it has more in some way. So the best part of the show, in my opinion, which I mentioned briefly earlier, is that the end of the episodes, after they show the end of episode title screen, which remember, keep watching, they show little by little something that happens later in the timeline. So the bulk of the episodes happen, for the most part, in a linear fashion. Except for like a couple of flashbacks in different episodes. But at the end of every episode, so we get the episode as in like today, right? What is happening right now. That's the majority of the episode. So episode one is today. Episode two is tomorrow. Episode three, right? So they keep that in a linear fashion. However, at the end of the episode where you think, okay, the episode is over, they show you the end of episode title screen, which just says Maestro. After you see Maestro, you're like, okay, episode's over. Where the heck is the next episode button? you have to stay and watch because little by little, every episode, they reveal more and more about what happened. They reveal more and more about how that situation started and even what happens after you see the body being dragged. I like how they reveal it because you think you know everyone involved. Like you're like, okay, got it. And then at the end of the episode, they reveal someone else is involved in a way that you may not expect. And then someone you think has nothing to do with it does. And someone you think for sure is involved isn't. And I think that part of the episodes is what made it more interesting for me. Like, those were like 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes most. Those moments were why I wanted to keep watching the show. Again, the romance is why I wanted to stop, but it was those little things at the end of the episode where you're like, okay, all right, now I'm interested to see how this person is involved, or what do you mean that person had no idea? So I will say on that part, they did a very good job, like, keeping you hooked and keeping you to be like, okay, I guess I'm gonna have to watch the next one. I will say, I think I missed the one from the first and possibly even the second episodes, because usually when they show the end of episode title, it goes to the credits. So when I noticed it in episode 3, I was like, wait a minute, what is this? And then that was part of every episode I looked forward to after that, like I just said. But I don't watch these episodes like back to back to back. I watch a couple different shows at the same time. So like, I'll watch Maestro in Blue episode 1, and then I'll be watching, you know, The Last Bastion episode 4, like on the same day, because that's just how I operate. So whenever I see the end title, I go, okay, and I exit. Like, I don't go next episode. Very rarely, I should say, do I go next episode. So just if you see the Maestro, just keep watching because there is more. It's like a Marvel after credit bonus episode or something, or bonus scene or something. I don't know, but there's more, so stick around. So the next thing I'll talk about is that I did feel like some of the storylines were forced a bit. For a small island off the coast of eastern Greece, there is a lot going on. Like, a lot. Some would say too much. The acting isn't bad in this show. It's actually pretty good for the most part. There are a few times where it wasn't the best, but it wasn't super cringy worthy. So if you're like me and like really bad overacting puts you off of a show, you don't have to worry about this. This show is actually, in my opinion, pretty well acted. There are some scenes that are hard to watch. And like I mentioned earlier, there is sexual assault in this show as well as domestic violence. So please keep that in mind before watching this show. They are not easy to watch and they never should be. Those types of scenes never should be easy to watch, but they are there. If you guys give the show a chance, let me know if you liked it or not. Again, overall, I wasn't a big fan of the show. There were parts of it that I did enjoy, but if it was not for this podcast, I would have stopped watching probably in episode 2. It gets better as it goes on, if you can get past the age romance. I just wish that wasn't a part of the show. Like, I don't think that adds anything to what the storyline of the show could be. It just, in my opinion, seems unnecessary because the other storylines are pretty good, and I just that romance, you could have had romance, but that romance between a 19-year-old and a 40-year-old just was unnecessary in my opinion. But again, if you guys like it or don't like it, let me know. So for the things that stood out, there wasn't really anything for me while watching this show that stood out. It's a small island, so it has a small town feel to it, which is, you know, not new for me watching like shows and movies. I live in a smallish suburb town, so it sometimes feels a lot smaller than it really is. I guess one thing that does stand out, but it's not the first time that I've seen it, so I was kind of like going back and forth whether or not to mention it, but it is the fact that they can only get to their island by boat, which again is not the first time that I've seen it, but it is different. I live on the mainland, so everywhere I need to go, I go to by car, grocery store, you know, school, work, everything was always just by car, so I guess technically that's a difference. Though I've seen it before. So the one thing that I do want to mention that, like, it's not a difference or a similarity, but it is something that kind of, like, caught me off guard, which was the realization, hearing them speak, that I've never actually heard Greek spoken before. Like, I thought I knew how it sounded, And then they started speaking, and it turns out I had no idea. And now, like, after watching the show and after hearing them speak Greek, I try to remember what I thought Greek sounded like, and I can't. But I know for a fact it wasn't what they sounded like. I thought I had heard Greek being spoken. Maybe it was a different dialect, maybe it was an accent, I don't know, but that was the thing that caught me off guard the most, was like, oh, like, I know what Spanish sounds like, I know what Italian sounds like, I know what French sounds like. Do I speak Italian, French, Russian? No, but if I hear it, I know it. It's like one of those things. I thought I had that with Greek. I thought I may not speak Greek, I may not understand Greek, but if I hear Greek, I'll know it. Turns out I didn't. That stood out. And that has more to do with me than it does to do with the show. But yeah, so it turns out that I've actually never heard Greek being spoken before. So that was fun. But if you guys watch this show and anything stands out to you, then let me know. Okay, so for this week's words and phrases, I was able to pick up 4 new words, and they are xero, and it means I know. Next is ne, and it means yes. Then I have ohi, which means no. And the last word I have is signormi, and it means I'm sorry. So if you're new to this podcast, you'll realize that unlike the last 2 episodes, I didn't spell any of these words. And that's because they are written in the Greek alphabet, and it is obviously different than the English. So me saying, you know, xero is C, epsilon, rho, omega, the epsilon has an accent, an acute accent over it, means nothing to you unless you know the Greek alphabet. And considering that the only person that I am like 100% certain listens to every episode I post is my mom, and I know she doesn't know the Greek alphabet, it would be confusing. So what I do instead is I post pictures of these words on my Instagram. So I don't do that for every episode. If I can spell it in letters that an English-speaking person understands, then I don't put them on Instagram. But for languages like Greek or Arabic or Russian or Korean, Japanese, Chinese, languages that use different alphabets, I will post them on Instagram. So if you want to see these words written out in Greek, you can check them out at official HYSI. If I said any of these the wrong way, please let me know. I don't speak Greek, obviously. I think I struggled with those names, so I do apologize for those names as well. If you guys picked up any words while watching this show, then let me know that as well. Again, the words are xero, nei, ohi, and signormi. For familiar faces, I wasn't able to recognize anyone in this show, but if you are, please let me know. This is the first and only show from Greece that I've seen on any streaming platform, so if you have any more, let me know that as well. But that's all I have for you guys for this show, Maestro in Blue. I haven't seen anything about if this show will have a second season or not. Again, there were parts of the show that I liked, but overall wasn't a huge fan. It wasn't awful, but I don't think it was necessarily my cup of tea, so if they do have a second season, I probably won't watch it, if I'm honest, but I will always keep an eye out for those of you that do want to watch it. If you guys give this show a chance, let me know what you thought about it, if you liked it or didn't like it. As always, you can follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at official HYSI. You can check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/officialHYSI. And if you have any show suggestions or feedback, you can email me at haveyouseenit1@gmail.com. That is the number one, not the word. I hope you all have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend. Stay safe and healthy, and I will see you next week, where I will be talking about the drama El Rawabi School for Girls from Jordan. Have you seen it? Because I have.